Well, this morning, we're talking about family. Last week, we talked about who are you. And if you were here, you got an opportunity, hopefully, to meet some new people today or last week. And there's a lot of new people. I'm still meeting folks and even folks that have been here a while. And working with the youth this year, I'm meeting a lot of new students as well. And we're just having a great time. But today, we want to focus on something a little bit different. Instead of who are you, it's who are we and who we are as a church. It's interesting. I want to read a couple of quotes. One gentleman said this, "For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's an amazing statement. He also said, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Let me say that again. If God is for us, who could be against us? That's some good stuff. He also went on to say this, "I press on toward the goal to win a prize. I press on." I was watching a lot of people trying to win a prize yesterday. I'm not sure what they were winning in football this weekend. And I watched people pressing on. Some got pressed a little more than others. "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." He also wrote these words, "Who shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Shall famine or hardship, persecution or nakedness? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors, for I am convinced that neither height nor depth, nor past nor present, nor principality nor power, nor demon nor angel, nor anything in all of creation shall separate us from the love that is in Christ." Those are good words. His name was Paul. What's amazing about Paul is when Christ was living, he wasn't following. And Christ was resurrected from the dead. Paul was persecuting those who followed Christ. He wrote these words, and he was an enemy of the gospel just a short time before this. What an amazing transformation to a man who was putting people to death, putting them in prison, and was feared by the church. And then he writes, "If God is for us, for me to live is Christ, who shall separate me?" What happened to Paul? Who are we? We are the followers of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. The salvation of mankind, the expression of love in a manger, the commitment to you on a cross, and the power of God that raised Him from the dead. Who are we? We are the people of God, the people of Christ. That's powerful. Today, we are a church that meets here in a mall, in a warehouse mall, at the end of the block, on a dead-end street, near an unfinished ribcage of a Tyrannosaurus Rex. That's who we are. We're a church. You know what's amazing about the Apostle Paul? When he met Jesus Christ, and here's something that I think is important. When you have met Christ and truly met Him, it will absolutely turn your life into a place that you probably never imagined. I'm sure Paul thought to himself, "The last thing I'm going to do is become one of these people who I'm going to put to death." Maybe you thought once that you would never be the kind of person that would be religious, fanatical, a Bible thumper, a holy roller. I don't know what people call you. If they haven't called you anything lately, maybe you haven't been worthy to be called anything. One church father said, "If you haven't been called a demon lately, you probably aren't living for Christ." Paul, what an interesting character. Let me tell you what he did after he met this transforming God. Paul planted churches quickly. He often left churches after only a few months. Have you ever wondered about that? Paul took three missionary journeys, and here's what he did. He appointed leaders. The longest he ever stayed in one place actually was about 25 years, but it wasn't really in one place. It was in the Ephesus area, which he used as a base for his team to strengthen the surrounding churches and to plant more. In just 10 to 12 years, the Apostle Paul planted 10 churches. That's about one a year. Others, like Laodicea, Colossae, and Hierapolis, were launched by members of his team or by other churches. Probably many of the churches of the book of Revelation were started by his converts. Paul expected new Christians to take responsibility immediately for the leadership of the church. Acts shows that Paul, here's something interesting. The book of Acts shows that Paul never ran a local church, but rather coached them into existence. You know, we have this concept that, well, you're the pastor, you went to quarterback college, you're the quarterback, you do everything. And the Apostle Paul had a completely different understanding. I wonder what he would think if he came into the church today and everybody expected him to do the hospital calls, the visitations, the preaching, the teaching, all those different things. And he would probably say, you know what? I expect you to step up, to step in, and to step out. I think that's what the Apostle Paul would expect. Paul practiced a ministry called immediate indigenization. Somebody that's indigenous is someone that's local to the area. He just simply rose them up into leadership, and then he moved on to another place, and he started other churches. He gave leadership to the local Christians. Paul began partnering with new local church Christians from the outset. The book of Acts and the greetings of other books that he wrote show how attached Paul was to these leaders. What's interesting is the people's names are scattered throughout Scripture. Most of you would never remember most of the people that Paul wrote about and thanked in his epistles, his letters. But they're scattered throughout. He names them. They were part of the family. And promising people were invited into Paul's church. Let me just finish with this, and then I'm going to move into something different, why the chairs are up here. What takes this ministry to a different level is the size of Paul's missionary team. Over a period of 10 to 12 years, Paul recruited about 24 identifiable people into his church planting team, plus others who probably never were identified in the New Testament. Paul added 2 to 3 new people every year to his team from local groups. The Apostle Paul believed that you were the church. And he was there at the very beginning. He was there with Peter. He was there with James. He was there with the disciples. This was the idea of how church happened. Somewhere along the line, it became, we watch, you do, instead of we do, pastor, you coach. And so I'm here to let you know today, I'm your coach. Who are we? We're a team. We're a family. We are family. And that family is a very large, growing family. We're growing more and more, which means we have a lot more ministries. I want to introduce you this morning to two parts of our family here at Grace. We have Dad's side of the family and Mom's side of the family. So I'm going to introduce you to Dad's side of the family right now. I've asked a few people to come up and join me that are involved in leadership of certain ministries within our church. And so I'm going to ask them to come up and join me right now. There's about 6 or 7. And so those of you that got the phone calls this week, for our children's ushers, greeters, Sunday church, Sunday school, tech. Come on up their way. Who's going to be the first one to move? Come on up here. Music ministry. Come on up here. There's a few of you. And I've got some seats here for you. Shepherd's ministry. There we go. Come on up. Why don't you welcome these guys as they come up? We have one more seat down there. There we go. And then if you can bring those microphones around. There we go. Well, good. Welcome you guys. I know those phone calls for some of you are, wait a minute, I didn't sign up to be on the stage. I'm behind the scenes. And what I want to do is just kind of go through and introduce. Now, understand this. These are just a few. These are six of our ministries that are established here at Grace. We have 16 established ministries in 3 years here. And I say 16. That's a lot of ministries, yeah. Let me just kind of give you an overview, because I didn't invite them all up here because not everybody does the same thing. But we have nursery, women's, college and career, ushers and greeters, benevolence, Sunday school, children's church, home groups, youth, tech, music, shepherds, outreach, Wednesday kids, prayer, and secretaries. Those are active ministries within this church. There are other ministries that take place all the time around here, whether it's cooking, cleaning, helping someone out, hospital visitations, working on the building, construction. There are a lot of other things. But you guys represent what we would call a weekly ministry that has leaders that plug in that we need help with. And so if I could, I'm going to have you introduce yourself and tell us just in a blurb your ministry and maybe what that means. So go ahead and start there. There we go.
Hi, I'm Walt Gerschbach, and I kind of follow up the ushering and greeting. And we sure could use a lot of smiling faces to help out with it. We're going to two services next week, and if anybody's interested in that, it's a pretty simple job. Just smiling and saying hi to people when they come in. Please sign up and come see me, and I definitely can put you somewhere.
Well, Walt, now you guys, I mean, when people walk into the church, the first faces are the greeters and the ushers and those who are there kind of welcoming people, kind of an important thing.
Sure.
You know, I've heard stories, horror stories of people that say, what are you doing here? Or I even heard someone say, you can't come through these doors dressed like that. That's not what we're looking for.
No.
We're looking for people who could just kind of welcome people, make them feel welcome, and maybe answer some questions. Pretty easy
sure.
job.
Yeah. Hugging's optional.
There was an incident. I don't know even know if it was a year ago, but I remember you had called me. You said, Pastor, what do I do? Because when you say hugging's optional, something happened. Why don't you tell us what happened?
Oh, it's just a lot of people. It's a touchy situation. I haven't figured it out yet, but I like to give hugs, and some people don't like to receive them. So I ask now if you'd like a hug sometimes, and sometimes I know it, you know, if you want it or not. It's a touchy situation. But
no pun intended. But yeah.
I love to hug people. So you know.
Yeah, and sometimes.
Wonderful.
Sometimes people walk through and it's kind of one of those things like, hey, don't you touch me kind of thing, right? But if you come through Walt's door, you're going to get a hug, okay? Now, some people are like, I'm not into that touchy-feely thing, and that's okay. We're just here to love people and let them know, and it's sincere, right? I mean,
it's sincere.
We don't pay you, you know, a nickel a hug or anything like
that.
So we could certainly use some of those people. Let's kind of move on down here and...
I'm Melissa Ramo, and I co-lead the Wednesday night kids program with Jill Hannon. And we're here every Wednesday night with a great, fun group of kids. And Curtis is helping us this year also. And so it's 6:30 to 8 on Wednesdays. We're doing boot camp this year. So.
Boot camp. Now, you guys, I mean, working with those kids, that's a challenging ministry. Do you find that people are just... knocking down the door, you have enough workers. People love working with those children.
Well, I wouldn't say knocking down the door, but the people we find to help do love kids, and they have a really, really great time. And it's an active time. We're not terribly serious, but we have a lot of great teaching that goes on.
Now, what do the kids do? Like, what's a couple of the main things that kids will do on a Wednesday night with you guys?
Well, we kind of go in stations. We have an opening, and we do music, and then fun music, and then we have a game that we always do. We have a teaching time that all the kids go through, and then this year we're doing something a little bit new where we're going to work in conjunction with some missionaries and allow the kids to learn about how to do missions overseas and what some of the missionaries do. Jill has a contact that we're going to work closely with, and then I have a few friends that are over in Africa that we're going to just Skype with maybe a couple times.
That's awesome. Yeah. I tell you, the kids, to see, you know, our kids learning about God, singing songs, learning about what people are doing all over the world,
yeah.
I think that's a great opportunity, and you guys do a great job. Not everybody is pounding down the doors, but mm-hmm. I do know the ones that we have in there, we do have a great team, a full team, I believe. Or is this a chance to say?
Oh, if you are interested, you know, feel free to talk to Jill or I. You know, we always love extra helpers and extra hands. So as long as you're up for some fun. And it isn't very quiet in there, so you have to take a little bit of noise.
So some earplugs?
So, yeah, if you want to bring earplugs, that might
there
be good.
Go. So. Great, thank you. Okay. Oh, Skype. Oh, that's a good, It's the new tech word.
It's the way to do video phone calls over the internet. So we have an opportunity. I think it's set up in the conference room where you can call over on the internet, and our friends have that same capability over in Africa. So they'll be able to see them and converse with them and ask questions. So.
Yeah. And I saw that a few weeks back at Simpson Park Camp. They actually, with some friends of yours, the youth got to Skype with someone over in Africa, and that was just incredible to be able to, right now, have conversation and see that.
Right. Then that will be one of the couples we contact.
Great.
So we have friends in Guinea-Bissau, Africa, and then in Dakar, Senegal. They just moved over there.
Great.
So,
fantastic. And then Carolyn also works with our kids a little bit.
I'm Carolyn Henderson, and I'm heading up Children's Ministries for Sunday morning. We don't have people knocking down the doors, and we do have a couple spots open, so it would be really great if anybody who's interested in teaching the Word of God to our younger kids, that so important. I think that Sunday school has such a negative connotation to it that we tend to shy away from it. We aren't really doing Sunday school. We're going to have children's church, and then we're going to break up into little groups. Since big people have small groups, little people have little groups. And
there you go.
They will be learning the Word of God in a really neat way. Do we have a dog catcher?
We haven't found a dog catcher. We're actually, one of the things they're doing is looking at different dogs and their characteristics and how that relates to God. It's called Kidology. It's a theology for kids. And each week there's a different dog. And we're looking for a dog catcher, deputy dog. And so I know he's still looking for that.
Yes.
And the kids are going to have a great time Sunday mornings, 9 and 10:30 in both children's church. And you know, what's interesting is you say they're not pounding down the doors.
Right.
This is dad's side of the family. You know, dad puts the tool belt on, the typical stereotype, you know, and goes off and works. This is this side of the family. I know when I first got married, my wife told me she was hoping to marry someone like her dad who could fix absolutely everything. He's a MacGyver. I mean, he worked on tractors. He had his own company, you know, self-employed. And, I mean, he would build a backhoe out of toothpicks. I mean, he could do anything. And I thought, oh, you got a guy who's going to have a hard time changing the oil filter. I mean, and so I had to learn a few things. And what she wanted was someone that could fix and do everything. What she got was someone who could find someone who could fix and do everything. And sometimes we come into church and we do want everything. We want something for our kids that's great. We want something for the adults. Whether we go to it or not, we want that. Well, you're the church. Come and be a part of that. Thank you, Carolyn. We have Wes. And Wes is representing our, what team?
I'm representing the music team, Debbie Way and myself. We're pretty much in charge of the music, the music group. We pretty much organize and get everyone to come here, which with musicians are very unreliable people sometimes. So,
that's a plug for anybody to be a part of the ministry.
We don't like to get up early. We don't like to show up on time and all that stuff. So there's a lot of coordinating that goes on with that. So I'm more or less in charge of the music part of it, if anyone's interested in playing on our team. We actually have Sunday morning teams, and then we have our college and career group is probably where we need the most musicians, because not only are they unreliable, but they're college kids. So that makes it about double that. So So we have that. And then Mike Sperling as well with the youth group. So anyone in the high school range who's looking to get involved with music, they can see Mike Sperling, the big guy in the yellow shirt. And so that's pretty much what we had up.
And music's such an important part. And it's interesting. When you say, that was a good plug. We're looking for unreliable people who don't like to get up early.
Right.
So if you're qualified or overqualified,
yes.
See Wes. I'm not sure that was the best commercial, but I think the part
is
what's interesting about music I found in 23 years of being a pastor is music's one of the most important things in the church, but music's one of those quick ones that can split and divide a church real quick. Why aren't we doing the hymns? Why aren't we doing the choruses? Why aren't we doing the praise songs? Why aren't we doing it this way? Why aren't we doing it that way? Why is there drums? Why aren't there, you know, zithers and flyers and I don't know. And why don't we have a cowbell? I don't know. But there's different things that people expect out of music. That is not
the Rolling Stones actually uses a cowbell. So
the
I'm
Rolling
really
and,
sure
and now we have a reference in church to Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. So if you like the Rolling Stones, you don't like to get up early, and you're unreliable, and you have a cowbell, we might have a position for you in our ministry. This is Dad's side of the family, okay?
Yeah, and actually what you said about that is true. So many people come and say, well, can we do more hymns? Can it be quieter? Can it be louder? Actually, usually doesn't get louder, but sometimes we kind of wish for that. But no. What I would say to people, though, in response to that, too, I think in the learning about worship, too, is when we come here on Sunday mornings, it's really not about us and what we want. I think so many people get caught up in the performance that we're performers up here and we're playing music, and it's kind of like a Sunday morning concert. And that's really not it. When we come here Sunday mornings to worship, it's about what we give to God. And I believe that I can do that with a hymn. I can do that with a hymn. I can do that with a modern song. I think if people really realize that when they come here on Sunday morning, that it's not about the song. That's about giving praise to God. I mean, worship is the time that we can really give back something to God. He gives us so much strength the week that we have the opportunity to lift up his name. So that's what I would really say to people who say, well, can we do it? That's great. And we want suggestions. Don't get me wrong. We really do want to have a variety because we understand that different songs do minister to other people. So.
And if the music doesn't minister to you, just go out in the lobby and give Walt a hug. Okay? Okay?
So
today, if you get about 30 hugs, we know we need to work on the music a little different. Or sign up for kids' ministry. Well, we have Diane here, who's a part of our shepherd's ministry, and this is pretty new, and it's really starting to come along. Diane, why don't you tell us something?
Okay, the whole point of a shepherd is obviously to care for sheep, but we're particularly interested in caring for new sheep. I think probably all of us have had the experience of going in, trying to find a church and going into a new church and either not being made to feel welcome after the greeting and the hug, of course, but just you don't know how to get in there. People aren't really talking to you. They kind of have their own groups. You kind of feel alone. And then the way I described it to Pastor Mitch was that junior high cafeteria syndrome where you're the new kid and you don't have anyone to sit with and no one to talk to. And after church, you're just kind of wandering around aimlessly. And that's something we really want to avoid here. And so, first of all, everybody can do this very informally. If you see someone new, you can, and this has happened to me. It is embarrassing to walk up and say, hey, are you new? And they say, no, I've been here 6 months. And that's embarrassing, but at least you're trying, because there are a lot of new people coming very quickly. But for a more organized shepherd's ministry, what we're doing is trying to get families, kids, teenagers, college people, anybody who wants to do this, to be able to hook up with a family who's new. And we have different things that we're trying to kind of identify who the new people are. But after we identify them, we'd like to have a group of people that we can call and say, hey, here's a family with, maybe two young kids, and you're a family with two young kids, would you be willing to hook up with them? Or the teenagers, okay? Hey, they have a couple teenagers. Would you be willing to shepherd these teenagers or college kids? Anybody can do this, any age. And what you would do then is when they come to church, sit with them for a little bit, so they have someone to sit with. Afterwards, take them around, introduce them to people so they're not you know, by themselves after church. Maybe call them up and invite them over for a barbecue or a cup of coffee. And usually what we've found, and Eddie and I have done this, and what we've found is within a couple months, people are kind of, they're kind of on their own then. Not that they're not your friends anymore, but they're feeling comfortable and they're kind of into the crowd, into the group, and you're introducing them to ministry opportunities. And so it's a way for people to really feel comfortable coming into a church. I've never had gone to a church where that's happened. I don't know if any of you have. Yeah, we have the greeters and we have people that'll say hi to you, but nobody that's actually kind of bonded with you and kind of looked out for you and invited you to their home and kind of stayed with you until you felt more comfortable. And that would really be great for teenagers. I would love to have more teenagers involved so that, you know, you can kind of hook up with the new teens, because that's really difficult at that age.
It is. And it's so important, too. If you've ever done that and you've tried to really make some friends and you go, how do I get to know someone? I'm here, but it seems like everybody scatters or they get with their group and they go have lunch. It's just so easy to invite someone to lunch and do that. So that's our Shepherd's Ministry, and we really appreciate that.
Oh, could Rose stand up real quick? Rose, I know you're here. Where are you, Rose? Okay, Rose is one of the really good workers here, and we're planning a Shepherd's Lunch at the end of a visitor's lunch at the end of the month, and that'll be an opportunity for home group leaders and new people to come to a lunch and meet the pastor and get a chance to meet other new people.
Wonderful. Thank you. And then, John?
Hello, everyone. my name's John Lee.
He's related to Jet Lee, too.
What's that?
What was that?
Okay. Anyhow, I've been involved in a lot of different ministries and different churches and that, but at Grace here, it's been Sunday school. At this point, I'm not going to be able to be as involved in that, but I'm going to be teaching a Sunday school class. Basically, my desire is just to see you guys come to a class, receive the Word of God, and then through prayer, basically, there are people here that are called to some kind of ministry, whatever it is. And I really, really sincerely believe that if you seek God with all of your heart, that He will call you to do something, and it will be fulfilling. And God will do great things through your life if you just allow the Holy Spirit just to minister to you. And I believe, Pastor Mitch, that as the years go on here, that God is going to call some people out of this congregation to do some great and amazing things. And I think that the life of Peter, which I'm going to be teaching about Sunday morning at 9 a.m., he had a life that was tremendously transformed. And I know everyone here wants a life that's transformed by the power of God. And we only get that by surrendering to Him and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, and on a daily basis just being in communication with Him. And that's my desire my whole life, is just to see the people of God receive what God wants for them. And that's why I'm here, just to minister that. And through the Word and teaching.
And you've been working here for 3 years as helping out with our classes and education. John's going to be teaching at 9 o'clock. We have another one. One of our hearts here is part of, you know, Dad's side of the family working, is for people to know the Word of God. So many people say, I've never read the Bible. I've never read the New Testament. I've never read through the Gospel of Mark. And so what we want to do is, he's going to go through the life of Peter. I know Diane at 10:30 is going to have a class for those who come to 9 o'clock service. And she's doing a class on apologetics. How do I know my faith? Kind of a Josh McDowell type thing. And really knowing our faith. We have another 9 o'clock class that's being taught by Ray Squires called Applied Christianity. So Sunday mornings, we have stuff for the children. We have stuff for adults, for teens. We're very excited to say at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, come on out for some of those classes. Or if you come to church at 9, go to class at 10:30. We also have those classes offered on Wednesday night. We have two wonderful classes being for adults, because we have our teens, we have our college, we have our children. We want to have something while you're here. You know, get a coffee and go to a class. And it's very exciting what's taking place. So this is our working team. There's one that's missing that I invited today that's not here. And it's got to be very obvious. And that's our nursery. There's probably a reason she's not up here right now, because she directs nursery. And the hardest thing is to say, if we can get nursery workers, you know, if we even only had 40 people involved, let me do this a different way. We only had about 30 people involved in nursery. That's about once every 12 weeks in a service that somebody would serve. She finds herself constantly in a place, Tanya, where she schedules people and it doesn't work and somebody will bow out and do this. But you know what? Take your turn if you'd like, just whether it's the toddlers or the infants, and take a Sunday. There's a gold thing that we had last week, and I don't know if it's in there this week, and it has just ministry opportunities and who you are. Sign up for something. Leave that on the chair. We'll get a hold of you. These people will get these things, but we have a host of things we want to do, and we believe God for good things, that God's going to do good things, and if our kids are going to learn about Jesus and our adults, then we got to make sure that, you know, Dad goes to work in the morning, and that Dad goes to work in the afternoon, and that's our dad's side. Would you give them a hand? Thank you, guys. And I want to do this in just a couple minutes. You hear more about that because you got to hear, you know, what's in the tool belt, and that takes a little bit longer. But right now, I'd like to just real quickly bring up, you have an insert in your bulletin, mom's side of the family. When I think about mom, I don't think about, like, when I think about dad, I think about running the home, you know. The first thing when I get home is, you know, who's supposed to bring in the trash cans? Why are they out on the curb? Why are the dishes not done? Has anybody fed the dog? And where's my remote control? I mean, important things that dads do, right? You know, when you come home, what's the first thing that... Mom, on the other side, generally is a different thing. While dad, it might be the provider in that sense. Mom is the nurturer, and I'd like to bring up my nurturers, my home group. When I think of mom, I think about home group. So I just want you to see their faces. If I can have the home group teams come on up and have a seat up here. Ladies, if you take a seat. Gentlemen, you can stand right behind your wives, or if you're an individual. And come on up, home group leaders. There he goes. Come on up, Kevin. I know he's doing the soundboard. There they are. Why don't you give a hand? These are our home group leaders. There you go. Why don't you have a seat right there? Wow. We have a lot of different small groups. When I think about homes, here's what I think about. When I think about house and mom, I think about, oh, man, we are full. Come on up here. Yeah, there you go. And they just bring the whole family, too. There she goes. Look at that. First day on stage for ministry. These are our home group leaders. I'm just going to have them just kind of say their names. They've been doing home groups, or if you are a new home group, just say, we're a new home group, and just introduce yourselves.
We're the Hannons here. Is this on?
Yeah, there you go. Just right on up.
We're the Hannons. We've had a home group for 3 years now, I think. So.
We're the Campbells and Fowlers. We're for marrieds with young kids, and we've had a home group probably 2 to 3 years.
We're the Greens, and we're a new home group, and we're way over on the north side. So anybody over in Birchville and out in Jetto, that area.
We're the Dardens, and we're just starting a home group, and we're located in Marysville, and our group is going to be for couples or singles, or actually, to start out, I think we're going to need to do couples. Some of the groups before have done this Laughing Your Way to a Better Marriage. That's one thing that we're interested in doing this fall, so I think you have to be married.
We're Dave and Carolyn Ross, and we're going to be starting a new group. We live in Marysville. And we're going to be studying Walking with God by John Eldridge.
Hello, I'm Josie Bassett, and you will maybe notice that I'm the only one that doesn't have a husband standing behind me. Carrie Chapman just came out with a new book, Five Love Languages for Singles. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm not real sure where we're going to have it. I think we're going to start off here. And then possibly move to another position when we find a better place to have it. And I think that we've decided that we're going to do it on Thursday nights.
Very good.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Henderson. We have a group that meets at my house on Thursday evenings. I live a mile from the church, so it's not too far from here. And we're doing the book of 1 Peter.
I'm Susan Olson, but Mitch is going to do the talking.
Well, that's a first.
No, wait a minute. No.
Oh. And I'll be in the home group with the singles. She just invited Susan. I'll be doing a home group at my house. It's called the Doghouse. If any guys would like to join me, because I know there's some of you candidates out there. All right. We meet on Sunday nights at our house every other week, and it's for anybody. And this year we're doing the Jesus I Never Knew by Philip Yancey. And so basically, when I look at this, this is wonderful. We started out with three home groups, and people were asking the question, where do I really get to know people? And again, when I think about home groups and mom's side of the family, your mom's side of the family, you know, the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies that are, you get to the porch and you can smell them cooking in the oven. Mom, who's kind of there to nurture and love up, and the warm fuzzies. We want to have home groups where you're welcome to come in. Do we eat food? Does everybody have food at their home groups? Is that the highlight? Oh, yeah. some. Not everyone. Others are going, we're just going to skip that, eat on your own, and come on over. Bible study, huge part of great discussions that you guys have. Those are a big part of what you do. What else is a highlight in those? Pinky brings her guitar and plays music. So you have music. What is another highlight that stands out in your prayer? That you can, prayer support, absolutely. That you have people praying with you. And I think about this. I know, I think the Campbell's group this summer, you guys did something fun. What did you guys do? You camped as a small group and had a great time. Still going to stay a small group? That's good. When you camp together. So we want to let you know. You have an insert in your bulletin. This is mom's side of the family. We believe that the book of Acts, chapter 2, says they went from house to house. They broke bread together. They prayed together. They fellowshiped together. And they added to their numbers daily those who are being saved. We believe whether you're a single in youth, we have 12 adults that are going to be working with our youth on Wednesday nights to create small groups. They'll meet them this Wednesday. Our college ministry has a couple of small groups. We believe in mom's side of the family. Mom's side is nurturing. Now, some people say, you know what? Small group for me is a Sunday school class or a Wednesday night class. That's okay. It's still a place where you can connect with people. And so I just wanted to introduce our families, and you're welcome to call them. All their names and numbers are listed, and we just wanted to let you know that you're welcome to give them a call. And if somebody rejects you, you can move on to the next group, okay? And Walt will give you a hug if you've been, yeah. Walt's going to have a lot of new ministries, I think, when we're done. But I just wanted to introduce you to our family. This is our family. This is who we are. Yes.
I just wanted to tell this. The study that we're doing is one of Kay Arthur's studies, so it's a precepts, and it qualifies for, it's not CME because that's medical, whatever continuing education points you might get if you need those as, would it be, I don't know if it would go for teaching or just those in the ministry, but it's really in-depth, and it's Wayne Barber is the one who's doing the teaching, and he's really, very good.
Thank you. Well, would you give a hand? This is our mom's side of the family. Thank you, guys.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you so much. It's a big family. And it takes a lot of parenting to make that work. And I hope that today was maybe a little more intimate in the sense of meeting people. It wasn't so preachy. It wasn't so hellfire and brimstone. It was to let you know that we're a family. We are family. Last week we talked about who you are. This week I wanted to let you know who we are. And we're going to move into a series beginning in the first part of October. We're going to finish this up a little bit more, and it'll be a little more preachy. But starting in October, we're going to talk as a family about one nation under God, in God we trust. And how can we as a nation, as an individual, still trust in the Lord with everything that's happening around us. I think it's going to be a great series, and want to invite you out and invite your extended family to be a part. When you leave today, my wife and I have the new visitor's venue. We kind of make our way out. If you've seen that and you go, where's the pastor when he's done praying? Well, we're praying on our way out so we can kind of get out there. We want to welcome you. If you're new, come on out. If you see someone new, bring them out and introduce them. Grab a cup of coffee. Stay with them and say hello. Get to know them. But bring them out to say hi to my wife and I. We'd love to meet you. At the same time, we're going to be taking today, one more day, photographs. It is kind of for our directory, but we want to do a wall of our families so that we get a picture up there and we can go, oh, that's who that is. So you can peek every week out there and you can see their faces and their names. And you can go, that's who that is, and get to know your family a little better. So be sure to stop out by where the coffee is, and you'll see Pam Campbell and her staff. They're taking pictures of it. Take you 2 seconds. It's not painful, and it doesn't cost more than $1,000 for a photo. And we'll give you the proofs. So let's all stand together.